destruction in Iraq and the surrounding region, we've been spending some time looking at the cultural heritage of the Middle East and the unlikely links to Cambridgeshire. Not much is heard about the music of the region, but one man from near Peterborough has been spending time on a reconstruction project of an almost fabled musical instrument, the gold lyre of Ur. Andy Lowings from Northborough joins us this afternoon. Just to tell people what the gold lyre of Ur actually is, that it's not this instrument. Let's point that out. We're talking about an instrument that was
discovered in 1929 by archaeologists from different museums around the world who were digging in modern-day Iraq. They discovered 80 feet down what appeared to be a mass suicide, with in the corner three lyres and a harp. And this was discovered to be 2,500 BC from the ancient time of Sumer. And, we thought that it would be a great idea to recreate it and to play it again.
Because the original instrument, as it was in a Baghdad museum, is that right?
That's right, yes. The instruments that were discovered in this old grave were distributed around the museums. One went to America, one's in London, and one was... the best was remained in Baghdad, where of course it's at in a case. It's unplayable. It's just the old bits put together. So we felt this was be a marvelous project to make a playable version.
And the original. Let's focus on the one in Baghdad for a moment. During the fall of Baghdad in 2003, it was plundered for the precious metals that were on it.
It was a great shame, yes. In the troubles of 2003, it was vandalised. It was found broken up in bits in the car park. The arms were there, stripped of the gold. Luckily, the gold bull's head was found in the National Bank of Iraq, and that's where it remains today. It's walled up in the basement.
Just waiting for a time or someone to come along to perhaps undergo a similar reconstruction process as done here.
Wouldn't it be marvellous, yes, recreate it again and replace the gold.
I have a feeling, though, that's far from the minds of those who run Iraq at the moment.
Yes, yeah. I think at the moment there are more important things than music on the people's minds there in Iraq. But nevertheless, music and art and culture speak to us across time, and I think that it's important that we keep a balance.
Okay, I'm sure that's something we'll discuss in the next few minutes or so. You're a harpist, aren't you?
That's right, yes. That's where I started from. That's why I took an interest in what was the earliest harp, actually a lyre. This led me to this marvellous journey, which has suddenly sort of spiralled and blossomed out of all proportion from what I thought was originally just a hobby.
You were aghast when I said this to you just before the travel news, but I said to you, I thought lyres were Celtic in origin, and the eyes almost fell out of their sockets, put it that way. And maybe that's because the tradition of the harp has been, to my mind, it's a Celtic tradition.
Well, the interesting thing is that that traditions move. They move across continents. They move from country to country, and you never really know where these things start from. So what you say might actually be correct. We've discovered a lot on this project that lyre playing is connected throughout the world, and so it may be that the Vikings and the Celtic civilization were in some way connected with these very ancient times. There were Vikings in Istanbul. So who knows how it got there?
It's what happens in civilization. They bleed into other civilizations,
exactly.
Don't they? And take their cultures and their traditions and their musical traditions certainly with them. For anybody listening wondering what it might sound like, this piece of music I'm about to play, is this a piece of music recorded from this instrument or elsewhere?
Yes, this is on this instrument. We've managed to make a great deal of friends around the world. We have a huge team now of people who support us with recreating it. And two of the people who helped us, one was Tara Jaff from Iraq, who contacted us, and the other was Ayu Bugada from Kenya, who plays a lyre. And they agreed to be recorded together just spontaneously. Mm-hmm. They never rehearsed. So they played this and we recorded it.
And this is what it sounds like. Thank you. Now, I know that's only a short snippet of that particular piece of music, and I know you're the one who's done the historical background on this, but that to me sounds Celtic.
Well, maybe there's some connections there. Tara's playing her harp along with Ibe, who's playing the gold lyre verse. So it's a duet, so there will be, of course, connections there.
I don't know if anybody's familiar with the size and dimensions of a harp, but how would this compare? Because this is a very large instrument you brought in.
This is 3 foot 3 high. It's 1 meter 200 high. It's 1 meter 200 wide. It's got two inclined arms and a parallel yoke. I think it's an early harp. As a harp player, I feel a connection with this. Technically, because the strings are parallel to the soundboard, it is technically a lyre, but I feel that these are more modern definitions. As a harp player, I feel a direct connection with this.
Would this be of similar dimensions, if not the same, to the gold lyre itself?
We've been very, very careful about our authenticity. We've managed to recreate it absolutely the same. So we often say that if the last harp player, the lyre player who died with her arm over this instrument, the archaeologists say, if she was here today, she would say, that's my instrument, the one.
What are you doing with it? Would you mind just unveiling it, just to explain for those of you unable to access our webcams perhaps this afternoon, that it's covered in a purple cloth at the moment, because even though it's undergone extensive construction and some very delicate and detailed work, it's quite robust, needless to say, but I'm sure quite delicate in parts as well. Wow. Goodness me. Can I just say, if you do have access to the webcams, go to bbc.co.uk/Cambridgeshire this afternoon. Click on Peterborough, that's where we are, and you'll be able to see this instrument, which is making its way towards me at the moment. That is something else altogether. I'm going to have to invite you to sit down again, Andy, otherwise we won't be able to hear clearly what you're saying. But can we just talk through the construction of this instrument? Because you've been very careful to use authentic materials here as well, haven't you?
That's right. If you're going to do it properly and going to connect with people who treat it very iconically there in Iraq, then you have to do it correctly. And so we've tried our hardest to bring the right wood, the right shell, the right gold, the right silver. It's all stuck together with bitumen, which is how they originally created it. The gold is exactly the same thickness, so we've had to go the extra mile. That's why it's taken us probably 3 years now. Mm-hmm. But it's finished, and now we can perform with it. So that's the next stage of our project.
When you play it, how does it compare to a harp?
The music of ancient Sumer is a huge topic, and people spend their lives trying to figure out what the cuneiform tablets meant. The answer is we don't really know. It's very subjective. I feel we could play it perhaps in the old way, but it wouldn't necessarily relate to people today. So we have to compromise a little bit. So today I've tuned it into a Western scale. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. We may be right, we may be wrong. But it sort of brings the story to life, which is the important thing. You must also remember that this is an ancient ceremonial instrument. It was not a solo instrument. It probably would have accompanied singing and percussion, ceremonies that we know nothing about. So what you might hear now is, I hope, reminiscent of what might have gone on. But there are some big questions still about those early times.
Have the local Iraqi community in Peterborough, in Cambridgeshire and elsewhere, have they caught on to your idea? Do they know what you've been doing?
Yes, it was a great joy when we as just musicians got together and said, well, let's make this. And suddenly we were joined by people, in Iraq, in the Middle East, in New Zealand, in Denmark, and they all helped. So we feel that we have a great team, not just locally, but around the world. And I think they're all listening.
I think so. How widely has it travelled? I expect that now that this is complete, and because it is such a unique project, I suspect you will be asked to take it places, won't you?
I hope so. It's no good if it just sits here in Peterborough. It's got to tell its story. And it's a story of cooperation, collaboration from across the world, and that's very important that we get that message across, that art and music transcend these religious, cultural divides.
What was it like when you played it for the first time, upon completion?
It was very touching when we put some strings on it, and I tuned it up. I rang up the maker, and I put the telephone to it. I said, John, it's singing.
It's done. It's here. It's finished. It's singing.
What do you think?
Can I get you to, if I just rig up my microphones properly here, can I get you to perhaps just go through the scale, something like that, so we get an impression of the sound of this instrument? This is Andy Lowings, who's with us this afternoon on BBC Radio Cambridgeshire from Northborough, who's painstakingly worked on this project, well, for 3 years now?
Yes, that's right, yes.
If not more?
Yes, 3 years. I was inspired when, I thought of it 3 years, April 2003, and pretty much the same week it was vandalised in Baghdad, so I felt this has got to be recreated.
Mm, okay, I wonder if you would care to
sure.
to knock out a tune on it. Hardly seems the right way of phrasing it, but you know what I mean, Andy.
Can you hear me here?
Yes, I can. I should warn you that I'm musically incontinent. There you are.
It may be out of tune by now.
Maybe you can talk us through what you're doing as well. Are you playing it in the same style, in the same way that you would a harp?
Yes, I'm plucking it. The strings are very wide spaced. It's a very big instrument. The strings are maybe 2 inches apart. They're 3 feet long, and they're all pretty much the same length. So in a lyre, it's very hard to get a very big distinctive range. You'll note immediately that the buzzing, which is how lyres are played today in many parts of the world. So that buzz is not is quite deliberate. So this is the bass note, which rings nicely, and the top note. So we've got an octave there. There. Mm-hmm. And I could play a little bit.
Okay.
May I recite just a little bit? I have a little verse of ancient.
Feel free. I'm prepared to indulge you this afternoon. There you are.
Hope the gods are with us for this. Okay. When the gods created mankind, they also created death. They held back eternal life for themselves alone. Humans are born, they live, and then they die. This is the order that the gods have decreed, but until the end comes, enjoy your life, spend it in happiness, not despair. Savour your food. Make each of your days a delight. Bathe and anoint yourself. Wear bright clothes that are sparkling clean. Let music and dance fill your house. Love the child who holds you by the hand, and give your wife pleasure in your embrace. This is the best way for a man to live.
It's just, like you say, I can see why musical historians view it as a pretty special instrument altogether.
Yes, it's for me and for people, obviously you've got the idea of the project now. It touches people. These ancient tunes and these ancient words, they reach out from almost the geological past. And for me, it's a well-kept secret. People should know more about these ancient times. And of course, it's very important to people from the Middle East. So if you take an interest in